If you would like these traditional Latin Mass homilies broadcast to a wider audience, please rank Padre Peregrino at 5 stars on iTunes. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, and I'm going to start with a rather sensitive question. Who have you not forgiven in your life? Really think. Not who has your wife failed to forgive, or your son failed to forgive, or your neighbor failed to forgive. Who is the person that you have not forgiven? Now, the best talk I've ever heard on forgiveness, you may want to put this in the back burner of your mind, is by a writer, or rather, speaker and writer named Jeff Cavins. And if you Google Jeff Cavins, Lighthouse Media Forgiveness, he's got a tremendous talk, the best I've ever heard, on forgiveness. And one of the things that he points out in this MP3 or CD, whatever you happen to get, he shows the etymology of the word to forgive, and it's actually to release, to absolve, to dissolve. The chains, the bad chains, not the good chains, the bad chains that hold you to this person, when you forgive them, you're saying, I release you from this chain. I release you from this chain of poison that I keep in my heart that holds you to me and me to you in favor of the chain of charity, which the Apostle Paul calls the bond of perfection. You know, Jeff Cavins points out that when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he meant everything, every single sin that would ever be committed, Jesus paid for at that moment. Doesn't mean everyone's going to go to heaven, because everyone has the opportunity to harness that forgiveness that he gives by his precious blood that only he can win by his death and resurrection. However, we have to understand that if we do not forgive, our hearts don't even have the capacity to receive that precious blood that saves us. We can still physically receive, but spiritually we cannot, because of the blocks that exist in our heart. And so when Jesus says from the cross, it is finished, what he means is all grudges are finished. All hatred is finished. All of the enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles, all of the enmity between God and man is now finished, because I have paid the price. And so you must let it go. The high road of forgiveness is actually what Jesus says right before that on the cross the day he died. With his arms out, he says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The most forgiving thing ever spoken in history. But Jeff Cavins also points out today's gospel at one point in this hour-long talk. And you have to remember, in today's gospel, we have a big debt and a small debt. The big debt is owed by one man to his boss, and then a small debt is owed by the little man to the middleman. And I would call this, what we hear at the end of this, the low road of forgiveness. It's still a valid beginning. It's not as high as being able to say in suffering, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But listen to the gospel, because remember, the one forgiven refused to forgive and then put his own little enemy in prison until he could pay the debt. So Jesus continues. I won't reread the whole gospel, but just listen to the end of it. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you? And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Actually, the word is torturers. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So again, if Jesus on the cross saying, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, if that's the high road of forgiveness, the low road of forgiveness is at least to realize if we don't forgive, we're going to have to face these torturers. And I like how Jeff Cavins puts it. He says, if I were given a talk on forgiveness, I would have just only talked about rainbows and flowers and butterflies. But Jesus says right here, if we do not forgive, We will have to face these tortures. And so if for no other reason we have to release these people in our heart, then so that we can be in union with God. Again, the best motivation we have for forgiveness is Jesus on the cross. But we at least have this as sort of our safety net to say, but at least I need to be in union with God and let these people go in my past. You know, personally, I'm one of the very best people I know at forgiving if someone says I'm sorry. I hold no grudge. I immediately forgive. But I'm one of the worst people I know if someone doesn't apologize. And so I'm going to look to a priest friend, actually, for a good chunk of this, because he just has a deeper authority. His name is Father Gary Sellen. He's one of my professors and formators in seminary. And you're rarely going to hear me just read another priest's homily. But I think he goes really to the heart of how Jesus wants to heal us, both before forgiveness and after forgiveness. He wants to get to the heart of this in this homily that I'm borrowing. And it's, again, you're not going to hear me read other priests' homilies very often, but it's just too good to pass by. So Father Gary Sellen says, "Why are we afraid of opening our souls to the Lord in prayer and to others who may help us? It may be that we don't want to get hurt again. We close the door to Jesus because of our painful memories, such as a parent abandoned us, or failed us at an important time of life, or was distant, or angry, or alcoholic, or abusive, and so forth. Because it is too painful to look inside, we spend much energy trying to deaden the pain. How do we avoid dealing with this interior pain? Some of us become workaholics, or alcoholics, or career climbers, or obsessed with our appearance, or have eating disorders, or push our children to be overachievers. How about our addiction to TV, iPods, cell phones, and computers? Aren't these ways of avoiding looking inside ourselves? We hurt more than we think. Some of us grew up in alcoholic families and had little security, lived in fear, and saw all as imperfect. As adults, we try to make all perfect by pleasing everyone, never saying no to others, and by being perfectionists. Though we accomplish much, we get upset if only one person criticizes us. Some of us grew up in a home where emotional expression was suffocated. As children, we learn to keep emotions bottled up and to never speak of family problems. If someone mentions that a family member is an alcoholic, the response is, "Shh, let's not talk about it, let's not rock the boat." Some of us become control addicts. We always need to be right and feel no worth unless we win in games and arguments. We are always on guard and feel threatened if someone enters our zone of authority. Being a control freak actually is a sign of deep insecurity and lack of self-esteem. Some of us feel responsible for moods of others and are anxious in presence of authority figures and think that God punishes us for wrongdoing. Now, if we have suffered like this, we may unconsciously project onto God images of an unloving father, a critical mother, a stern priest, or another fearful parental figure. And during a crisis, we may think, "See, God is not a loving God. If he were, then why am I and my family in such a mess?" But let us remember, God allows but does not cause these pains. This is the mystery of iniquity. Yet he can bring good out of evil, as St. Paul said to the Romans, "All things work for good for those who love God." Yet not all of us come from broken backgrounds. Many of us come from healthy families with loving parents. And although our parents made their share of mistakes, they still gave us a good direction in life and a security in love. For this, we thank God and them. On the other hand, do not all of us have at least some fears and insecurities? We are all broken people to some extent. I can say at least that I'm a well-adjusted neurotic. It seems, however, that some families struggle more with inner problems than others do. There's an intergenerational sin whereby sinful tendencies of parents are passed to children. Angry and abusive behavior, divorce, pornography, alcohol and drug abuse. This doesn't have to happen, but it does. But this chain of sin can be broken by the healing power of Jesus in confession and Holy Communion, counseling and healing, healing prayers. Healing prayers, I'm going to interject something to Father Gary Sellen's homily here. I should say that I've been trained by some very good priests in Colorado in what's called deliverance ministry, inner healing. And if anyone wants to come, I definitely have the time here. It's also called minor exorcism, but it's just a scary term for essentially deliverance. And a huge part of deliverance is walking through forgiveness that needs to happen. Continue with Father's homily. Healing prayers are important because often Catholics are spiritually stunted by family wounds and live their faith in an environment of unresolved fear. Many otherwise devout people battle with the rigidity of the soul based on irrational fear. Fear is the chief motivator of our faults. There is hope for healing in Jesus Christ. We need to hear this good news since many Catholics have not experienced unconditional love. Let me say this again. We can find authentic healing in the Lord Jesus. What are some practical means to find this inner healing? 1, frequent, at least monthly confession where our sins are forgiven and we feel His love. This is so important. 2, deep devotion to the Blessed Mother Mary in the Rosary and silent prayer that she may make us whole again. 3, we must not be afraid of silence. Must the TV, radio, or computer always be on? We find Jesus in this silence who tells us, be not afraid. Yes, there is hope in the healing power of Jesus Christ, but to be healed, we must forgive those who have sinned against us and let go of our anger. This we must do in order to receive forgiveness of our sins as we pray to God, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we do not let go of our resentment and anger, we will live and die in pain and will not be admitted to God's presence in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.